Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the D.C. It is Saturday, the 22nd day of October, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Before we get to the news, this is, and I will be repeating this regularly throughout the broadcast, this is the last Saturday of the pledge drive. This is your last chance to become a member of Jazz 90.1. This is your last chance to keep this show and this station on the air. So make that call, make that pledge. You can pledge, you can call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. If you're calling during the show, you will talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. And if you are calling off our show times during business hours, there will be somebody who take your pledge. But 24/7, you can pledge online. Again, that's at jazz901.org, particularly for those of you who are overseas. We know many, many hundreds of you download the podcast every week, and we would love to have each and every one of you pledge. Look, you depend on us every week to answer your computer questions. Some of you literally every week. And so we're happy to do that. But twice a year, we come to you, and you only have to pledge one of those two times. We come to you and ask you to be generous with your dollars, as frankly we are with our knowledge. So make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And I will read the news now. While you make that call, tell Cheryl we said hi. New research has disclosed what's being called a security vulnerability in Microsoft 365 that could be exploited to infer message contents due to the use of a broken encryption algorithm, a cryptographic algorithm. Office 365 message encryption messages are encrypted in insecure electronic codebook mode of operation. Office 365 message encryption is a security mechanism used to send and receive encrypted email messages between users inside and outside an organization without revealing anything about the communications themselves. A consequence of the newly disclosed issue is that rogue third parties gaining access to the encrypted email messages, which we all know is easy to do, may be able to decipher the message, effectively breaking confidentiality protections. Electronic codebook is one of the simplest modes of encryption, where each message block is encoded separately by a key, meaning identical plain block text will be transposed into identical cipher block text, making it unsuitable as a cryptographic protocol. The findings add to growing concerns that encrypted information previously stolen may be decrypted and exploited for attacks in the future, a threat called Hack Now, Decrypt Later, fueling the need to switch to quantum-resistant algorithms. Microsoft, for its part, considers Office 365 message encryption as a legacy system, with the company recommending customers to use a data governance platform called Purview to secure emails and documents via encryption and access controls. Since Microsoft has no plans to fix this vulnerability, the only mitigation is to avoid using Microsoft Office 365 message encryption. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft Office 365 uses broken email encryption. So far, your choices are, that's a problem for me, that's stupid, I'll have to stop using it, micro what now, and, of course, other. So far, we've got 18 votes in the system, 12 of which are micro what now, right. And, of course, you'll have more to say about this, so head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 22-OCK-22. Microsoft Office 365 uses broken email encryption. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Make your pledge, talk to us, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org, and you don't have to talk to anybody.
Speaking on that vein, Microsoft is now going to lose another company software due to software. And that's this other program that I use quite a bit. Because of access, more and more folks, that this other company just announced this past week that they were moving their database off of Microsoft Access and going with SQLite, because evidently it's easier to work with, very universal across all platforms, and every time, that they do an update, you don't have to get another version of Access.
Right.
Or you have to get another version of Access because, you know, the old one doesn't support that.
Right.
They're constantly changing it. And this is the second company now that has said, nope, that's it. We're done. And they're rewriting all their code. And this other company, the very first one, said, wait a minute, we've discovered it's faster.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Faster, cheaper, easier to use. Yay, let's try that.
And less to maintain.
Yeah. With SQLite, you can create a document on your desktop or anywhere in your system that contains your data. And it now runs pretty much at the speed that your drive can spin. So, you know, and if it's a solid state drive, it's instantaneous.
And the other big feature that they were touting is, like, if I for my environment, for ham radio, you could have multiple people trying to get to the same database and update it. And SQLite handles that very well, thank you, if they put it up on the cloud. It doesn't matter whether I'm at home or out in the field or wherever, I can gain access to that database and use it.
Yep.
And it's fast.
Yep. And it's just a single file that you can then easily back up and you know, put on a thumb drive or something and whatever you want to do with it. And there's 100 programs that will handle SQLite files and let you go in and look at them and edit them and search them and all the other things you want to do. And it's fast and easy and convenient. So.
Yeah, I found that very interesting because I already knew one company was doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now this other major one's, we're bailing.
Yeah.
So Microsoft should start worrying a little bit more because more and more folks are finding, even with their Office 365, wait a minute, I could use Google Docs or OpenOffice, which, oh, by the way, are free. And for probably, I'd say 75% of the folks out there.
I'd say 85 to 90%, really.
Could get away with just using that.
Yep. Yep.
Although, then you can't compete in the Microsoft Excel Championship from the financial modeling world.
There is that.
Yes.
Yes.
And that and 25 cents might buy you a cup of coffee if the cup comes down the street.
Right, right.
I think one of the challenges this year
25,
was...
Where are you... buying coffee for a quarter anymore. Cheese and crackers are old.
Thank you. It's just easier to say. It's just like, well, try to find a phone booth anymore.
Well, right.
Yeah, I think one of the tests this year was to do the Game of Life.
Oh, yeah.
In Excel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doable.
Yep. And you've got, it's like you've got half an hour to do. So October 14th through 17th. Oh, that was last weekend. Stage 8 is November 18th through 24th. And then the World Championships will take place. The World Financial Modeling World Cup.
I don't see that the Game of Life is a financial model.
No.
But.
I could be wrong.
You have to know Excel really, really good.
Yeah, you have to know really, really well. Yeah.
And like we were saying, 80, 90% of the folks don't use half the features in those programs, whether it be Word or Excel or even PowerPoint.
Right. First place has a $7,000 cash prize.
Ooh, baby.
And there's only a $20 entry
hubba,
fee.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Not bad, not bad. Yeah, the thing is, you're right. For most people, and I'd say it's easy 90%, they won't use most of the features in OpenOffice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't need – there are certain specialized – like there are lots and lots of templates and macros and things for, say, the legal profession in Word. Right. If I was a lawyer
– boilerplates, yeah.
I would use Word. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Most people don't need that, and so they don't need to spend money – On Office Suite when there's an exceptional alternative that's free.
Yeah.
And it reads and writes Microsoft Office files. Like I said, for most of 20 years, I used OpenOffice at my job, and everybody else was using Microsoft Office. Nobody knew.
And 90% of the folks are now, instead of doing up letters and all that other stuff, they're doing up an email.
Yeah, right.
You do up an email, send it off because they get it instantly, not waiting for it to be mailed out and go here or go there, whatever.
Right, right, yeah. Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I want to help a friend of mine who has a particular problem. His son is deceased. And he is now in possession of his son's Samsung phone and would like to get into it. How do you do that?
Hope the son wrote the passcode down somewhere that you can find.
No, yeah.
Pretty much all modern devices are encrypted by default, mm-hmm. and which means nobody can get in without the password, not even you.
It's called SOL.
Yeah.
So if he is signed into and if he was using it, Samsung uses Android.
Correct.
So he would need to know his son's which email address he was using, which Google Gmail address, frankly, he was using, and the password to that email address.
It's possible that with the right amount of death certificates and finding the right contact at Google, you can get into his Google account, which theoretically would have things synced to it from the phone.
Well, the other option, though, is if he also had a computer, okay, and he was, say, using Chrome, you can go into Chrome, go into password settings, and look up the password for that particular email.
Yeah, it may be saved in there as well. Yeah,
quite often, people save their passwords into their email. So if that was the email address that he was using on the phone, it's most likely using the same password.
And if he was signed into a Samsung account, the same sort of thing, you'd have to be able to find the password for that account or try the forgot password link they have on their website, which often then will text a code to a trusted phone or email a trusted link. So there's kind of a catch-22 there that you need the email to get the password, but you need the password to get the email.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. They're designed to be unbreakable.
Yeah, they don't want people hacking them.
Yeah, many services now have what they're starting to call a legacy contact. So before you pass, so everyone should do this now, before you pass, when you're doing your paper will, go into Apple and Google and Samsung and all your accounts and set up your legacy account so that when you pass, you are allowing someone else into your account.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but if you can't find the username and password now, it's going to be kind of tricky to get in. We've even seen, Microsoft says you have your lawyer has to contact their lawyer. They don't have anything set up for customer service to get a death certificate. They want to make sure everything is done legally, and then they can't be criticized for giving out information when they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where using a product like EnPass, and you give that one password to, say, your spouse or somebody else, that contains then all your other passwords that you use for every other account, is far more efficient.
Yeah, I found a website from some company. SamsungMessageBackup.com that has a couple of things you can try, but most of them are go to your computer and log in with your password there. Go to your other phone and log in with your password there, so that you can reset the password on the first device.
Okay. Yeah, party would also like to get into the Gmail account, but they were hoping the phone pass would help them get in.
Well, like if I it's say, all Gmail, if they get into the phone with a Gmail account, then the same password with a Gmail address, then that same username and password would get them into the Gmail. Yes.
Right.
But you're still probably, even if I remember correctly, if you go into Chrome, say on this laptop, and you get to where you can look up passwords, they're even going to want the password for that.
Yeah, you're going to need the master password for that computer or the Google password to see the list of saved passwords.
Okay. Does Google have a department that deals with this stuff?
Not that we've ever found, no.
No, they're like... fog in the night. Yeah, they just drift in and drift out.
Quite frequently, you try to go through the Google Forgot Password link, and if you can't verify yourself from the trusted phone or trusted email address, their solution is, oh, just make a new account.
Yep.
And tell everyone your new address.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you for your wise counsel.
Sorry. Yep. One of the things that we've been talking about... Hold on. Well, look at that. If you go to Google Help and type in death,
just found one too.
Submit a request regarding a deceased user's account. So, you can do that. If you go to...
I'll post that link too.
Yeah, post that link, and it tells you how to at least begin the...
The best thing is set it up ahead of time.
Right.
With that person's address that you want to be able to access it.
Right. And this is for every single person out there who has a Gmail account. There is something called the Inactive Account Manager. And what you can do is you can set that up. And what that does is you can say, you know, if there has been no inactivity in a certain amount of time, like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then assume that you have passed. Google will assume you have passed and allow.
And delete all your porn?
No. And allow alternates to access your Gmail account. So, but you have to go in now and say, this is how long I want the inactivity period to be. Because let's say you're the sort of person who travels around the world. You might be gone for a month on vacation, yeah, not looking at email. So you want it to be longer than a month. So, for example, I said 3 months. Not that I go anywhere, but I said 3 months.
Yeah.
Could have been 2 hours, but still, yeah. 3 months. And in the event that my account is inactive for 3 months, then here are the people who should be allowed to access my Gmail. And I can put together a list of people who, you know, family member, spouse, whatever that happens to be.
And they have 3 months to access your account before it becomes inactive permanently.
Right. So
I'm doing it right now and setting up my son as my legacy
very
contact.
Good, very good. I have done both my wife and my daughter. So that lets that person handle your affairs when you pass. Many of us don't have, many of us think we don't have anything really important in our Gmail, but I bet if you look back, you're going to find, request for, you know, authorization to spend certain amounts of money or, you know, whatever it might be. And then certainly, your next of kin might want to be able to send out messages to all the people you, typically email. To say that you have passed, that sort of thing. And I realize it's morbid, but you know what? Get over yourself. That's the way the world works.
Well, that's why I took, and with NPass, like I say, we've got the one password, and I gave that to my wife. And I told her, anything happens to me, every password that I use, whether it's getting into banking, email addresses, or any type of accounts, it's in there. I've made it a standard practice that if I set up anything and create a nice long password, it's in there in NPass. So she only has to know one password.
Yes, and I've done the same thing for my family. They both know they both know where to access NPass and thank you. And how to and what the password
makes
is.
Makes it so much easier.
Yep. But in addition to that, if you're not the sort of person who uses a password manager, and you should be. You absolutely should be. Also doing this, I've done both. Why not? I mean, there's no reason not to. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let me thank Brian for his donation. Thank you for becoming the latest member of Jazz 90.1. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik, Francesco, and you. 30 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites. Member supported, Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Did I thank Brian already? I think I did. Thank you, Brian, again. Thank you. Oh, it's an additional gift. We appreciate that very much. And that's a point. You don't have to just give us money based on a particular level of membership, although those are lovely and there are benefits to that. We saw the lovely Soundbites phone charger today. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The power bank thing. That's very cool. But yes, this is our last Saturday of the pledge drive, and we are nowhere near our goal, quite honestly. There will have to be changes if we don't meet our goal.
We need your help.
And if we don't meet our goal, well, that's entirely up to you folks, and I get that. Yeah, you know, these are perilous economic times. We all know that, but it is for us too.
Yeah.
And we'd like to stay on the air, and the way we do that is with your membership. And you know, there are levels of membership. Like I said, you can join at the 35 or 50 or 90, 10 or 120, et cetera, et cetera. And at those levels, there are benefits. You can get a tote bag, a baseball cap, a coffee mug, the Soundbites USB charger, the hoodies. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can get. But you don't have to pledge at a membership level. If you've got a few bucks that you can spare, we'll take a few bucks. If you want to give, if you're already a member and you want to make an additional gift, that's great.
Yep. Wrong amount.
And let's not, sorry.
Is it the Jazz-O-Matic? Is a great way to do it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for as little as $10 a month, you can go on to the Jazz-O-Matic and monthly payments. You just tell in the total amount you want to donate and the amount per month. And it's all handled automatically out of your bank account. You don't have to put out a huge amount right now, and so that monthly payment is a very easy way to donate without needing a big amount right now.
And the other thing along with that, though, is that you don't have to worry if all of a sudden you get to the end of that. Say you do it for a year, we don't automatically renew you,
right?
We wouldn't do something like that for you. We will always, say, hey, do you want to renew? Our folks will always ask, and you'll hear us asking when you call in and that, do you want to renew your membership? We right. don't automatically do that like a lot of places do.
Right, right. And in addition, again, we know that things are iffy these days. If you need to cancel, we're perfectly willing to do that. Just call up and say, I have to cancel my Jazz-O-Matic.
Life happens that way.
You can
specify
what day of the month the charge is made on, so you can schedule
accordingly. Yep. Yeah. So it fits within your budget, not ours.
So this is our final Saturday, so please, please make that call, make that pledge. You can talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or if you don't want to talk to anybody, or it's during the week and you're overseas and it's Tuesday evening and you just listen to the show, you can do it securely online at jazz901.org. Big red Donate Now button takes you to the donation. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. Pick your poison and go. It's easy, it's convenient, simple. It's fast, takes a couple of minutes, you're done.
Yep.
In the meantime, I'll read the news.
Another one.
Apple is reportedly pausing production of the iPhone 14 Plus while it works out whether or not there's sufficient demand for the new phone. Unlike the iPhone 12 and iPhone 13, which launched alongside the smaller iPhone 12 mini and iPhone 13 mini, Apple decided that for the iPhone 14 range, bigger is better, and released the iPhone 14 Plus alongside the standard model. This larger version of the latest iPhone doesn't come with all the bells and whistles of the iPhone 14 Pro, but is a more budget-friendly upgrade over the base model. However, it appears that this option hasn't proven to be a hit with customers, as Apple has reportedly paused production of the iPhone 14 Plus, despite that handset having been on sale for less than 2 weeks. Apple is said to have told the Chinese manufacturer to halt production of iPhone 14 Plus components, while two plants that assemble iPhone 14 Plus components into larger components are said to be cutting production by 70 and 90% respectively. According to the report, the pause has been put in place while Apple reevaluates demand for the phone. So why aren't people raving about the iPhone 14 Plus model? Most likely it's because the iPhone 14 Plus is essentially just a more expensive version of the base model, albeit with a larger screen and slightly longer battery life. This, with the rising cost of living on everyone's mind, if people are looking to treat themselves to a new iPhone, the Plus arguably doesn't give people enough of a reason to shell out an extra $100. If people are looking to splash out on a new plus-size phone, then Apple has a more compelling option in the iPhone 14 Pro, a handset that feels like a next-gen device and offers way more bang for your buck. Also, the iPhone 14 Plus launched nearly a whole month after the iPhone 14, 14 Pro, and 14 Max. Rather than waiting weeks to get the 14 Plus, we think most people forgot about it and just picked up one of the three options that were already available. All of the above said, if you're one of those people that does want an iPhone 14 Plus, there's currently not too much of a reason to panic right now. For one thing, production has reportedly only been paused rather than completely halted. Once Apple has rejigged its sales expectations, production of the iPhone 14 Plus will likely resume, although possibly at a slower rate than before. Additionally, the iPhone 14 Plus isn't currently sold out at any major retail, as far as we can tell. And for now, there appears to be sufficient stock that most people who want an iPhone 14 Plus won't struggle to get one. Are you lusting after an iPhone 14 Plus? Give us a call on your crappy old year-old 13 iPhone Plus. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
What we're seeing more of is people going to the 14 Pro with the much better camera system over the 14 Plus with a half-inch bigger screen.
Right.
And physically bigger phone. So maybe harder to hold even. But the one advantage the Plus has is it's available in purple and red. And the Pro is not. Well, yeah, the Pro has a deep purple, which I kind of like, rather than the more lavenderish purple of the Plus. And most people don't look at the starting price. They have the monthly payments. So from the Plus to the Pro is only $100 more.
Right.
And you get that 48 megapixel camera, right. And everything else you get in there. And it's probably only $5 more a month.
Right.
All right. So you get a little bit better camera.
A lot better camera.
You get a lot better camera. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Is if you were to throw it to your inkjet printer.
Yeah.
All that great quality isn't going to print.
Well, it's for the YouTube influencers.
Right.
It's for TikTokers.
People who's, right. It's for people who are taking video to be an influencer.
You can shoot and edit 4K video on the Pro.
Right. And so
I'm showing my age.
Yeah,
what
you
can
are.
I say?
Thank you. That's what it's all about.
I resemble that.
And they want the camera far more than they want the extra half an inch of real estate. It's just it's what's important to them at this point.
Yeah.
And they're not selling. Apple doesn't care about you. You're old. Apple cares about.
You can get an SE for $429. There used to be a carrier discount, so.
Right.
And that's the plain old small phone with a pretty decent camera, pretty decent processor.
Go get the six. Yep. I'm looking at the 6A right now.
Yep.
Which is cheaper than the 7.
Right. But again,
and it's a bigger screen.
Again, Apple doesn't care about you.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't care about them.
Well, you're right. It's mutual. But they don't care about you. They care about young YouTube influencers. Seems to be exactly what they're they're looking for now.
One thing they should be touting, whether it's the camera or the screen, is more battery life.
Well, the 14 has a larger battery. And the 14 Plus, rather, has a larger battery, and that's...
Yeah,
that's not a selling point to these kids.
The 14 gives you 20 hours of playback. The 14 Pro is 23 hours. The 14 Plus is 26 hours.
Right.
So that's, see, that's all day long.
Yeah. That's,
literally this time.
Yes, literally.
And that's got to be a key thing, I would think, in most, even the younger generation, because they panic when all of a sudden their phone is just about ready to die.
Right.
Because, oh, the battery didn't last that long.
Right.
You know, and they were in the middle of a movie or doing a TikTok, thing.
And the other thing is that these are reports that Apple may have told some of their suppliers.
Right.
So this is like rumors on top of rumors on top of rumors.
Right.
It may not be true at all.
Well, it may not be true. And also, I mean, we think, holy moly, there's a plant that's not making iPhone 14 Pluses anymore. Mm-hmm. Out of what, 4?
Yeah. So on average, Apple sells a million phones a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So somewhere in multiple plants around the world, they're making a million phones a day.
And also, even if they entirely stop selling the Plus, the reason they do that is because people are spending more money on the Pro.
Yep.
They're not losing sales.
No,
they're gaining money.
Yeah.
So, that sounds like a negative. Oh, Apple shut down the line. Apple shut down a line because they're making more money somewhere else. It's not, if you're an Apple fan, don't start clutching your pearls. Everything is fine. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. How are you, Brian?
Gentlemen.
Who wants it?
No, wrong.
That never gets old. Actually, I just gave you guys $10.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. That was you. Thank you very much.
But let me tell you something. I'm gonna kind of tip my hand here. Way back in the day, I was a guy who had your thumb drives made for you, and I've participated in the show since the Dr. Bob days.
Yes, you are. That's right.
Right. But I will tell you what. That $10 right now was more significant to me than the money I've given you guys in the past, because I found myself with some health challenges and things like that. You can give till it hurts.
God bless you, Brian, and thank you so much. We value your friendship and your membership.
Oh, yes, is for sure. But I'm calling you from my brand new Pixel 7.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Yes, it's not an Apple. Yeah, not so much.
I've been debating right now because I've got, Brian, just so you know, I've got a 3A. I love the Pixel phones. I've had it since day one.
I upgraded from the 3A to the 7. Skip the 6, and everything that you're seeing on the internet, though, it's a great phone. It's just a brick full of sand. But the thing is, the face recognition works good. The fingerprint recognition is still garbage.
Okay,
that doesn't work at all. But if you need that, I happen to like that. But here I am complaining about the miracle that is a cell phone, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm standing in my backyard talking to a radio show in Rochester.
Right, exactly.
So let's not parse like that,
Right.
But anyway, I just wanted to give you guys. Just to personally say thank you.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your Pixel 7.
So far so good, but it's like again, it's not significant.
What version of the 7 did you get?
It's the 7. I don't have a 7A yet. I didn't get the Pro because I don't need that. I'm not.
Right.
I'm
just the A.
I'm an amateur cell phone user. I don't need the Pro.
Right.
I hear you.
I bet you still make phone calls, Brian.
We're contemporaries, and
yeah.
I found that texting is cool and good, but I kind of find myself gravitating back towards making phone calls.
Actually talking to people?
Yeah.
I know.
But people are the worst.
They're the worst.
Everything is old is new again, and I it's coming back around, and I find myself finding texting to be cold and impersonal.
Yep.
And it's easy to, I can tend to be, I know, my humor is coming forth, I know, but it's easy to misconstrue a text. If you can have a lilt in your voice and talk to people when you're giving them a very, very hard time.
Right.
You get away with a lot more and, a lot more acceptance.
Right. I have discovered that if I want to get hold of my wife, I call. If I want to get hold of my daughter, I text.
Mm-hmm. my wife leaves the phone in the kitchen, and so I can never get a hold of her.
I do have to block my ID because every time I call my wife or my daughter, they both don't answer. So
yeah,
unless something broke or they need money, then wow.
Yeah, then that's
there in a hot New York.
You always get that.
Right, where were you? I tried to get a hold of you.
Yeah, my daughter once sent me an email from college. Dad, did you know that you can send me money through Google Pay now? Yeah, honey, I knew that.
Thank you. What a treat!
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, goody for me!
Well, I'm going to break a rib diving on that project.
Yep. Oh sure. Man, I can't wait.
Wait a minute, my hands are cramping up.
Yeah, right.
You go to Google or PayPal.com.us.Yugoslavia and.
Yeah.
Send them your credit card. Oh, verify your information. Sure. Nice.
Yep.
How about
exactly.
If I just send you $20 in the mail? You got a better chance of.
That's right. Just throw a 20 in an envelope, send it off.
Am I becoming a codger?
Congratulations. You have reached codgerhood.
Codgerdom?
Codgerdom.
Right. Yes.
You've contracted codgeritis.
Yes, I would like to thank you guys for contributing to that program.
It's our pleasure.
That's your donation to me.
Yep. Yes, it is.
No,
yes.
You guys are part of my Saturday, just like coffee and trying to find my slippers.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thanks so much, Brian, and thank you again.
No, thank you guys.
Thanks.
I don't need anything from you other than, just being there.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thanks. And we'd also like to thank an entirely different Brian for his generous donation. Thank you very much. He's a renewing member. And remember, you too can join Brian and Brian and become a member. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415. You will talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. In either case, or I suppose in any case, you are listening to the very last Saturday of the pledge drive. If you don't pledge around sound bites now, you've missed your chance. And that's bad for the station. and for us. And we hope that you will make that call and make that pledge. And while you do, we're going to talk to Brian from Gates, New York. Hiya, Brian.
It's Brian Day.
It's Brian Day.
Yes, it is. And I got a story about that, you know?
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the show in Los Angeles.
Nice.
I was there visiting my family out there, my son and his family. And all of a sudden, Brian from Gates came on the phone.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in Los Angeles, Burbank. I'm not engaged, and I'm not calling. I got very confused.
Yeah, right, right. Shockingly, there is more than one Brian in Gates, New York.
Well, I've never met them.
Well, right, right. You should get together.
Yeah, sure. So, and I also just talked to Cheryl. She did a wonderful job. She's a very nice person to talk to. Everybody should be calling to talk to Cheryl.
Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen, for the lovely and talented Cheryl. Give her a call. Make that pledge. Thanks, Brian.
An average of 1,183 people per year are named Brian.
Thank you so much.
It peaked in the early 70s and has been declining since then.
He's pre-early 70s, I'll tell you that.
Well, 1970 is about when I met Mick.
Yeah. That's about right.
Average age is late 40s.
Well,
Wolfram Alpha is really cool. Famous Bryans?
Yeah. Anyway, I've been using Chrome for about 2 or 3 years now.
Right.
A Chromebox and a Chromebook and got the whole 9 yards. And I really like it.
Good.
Except for one thing.
Uh-huh.
Back when I was using a different operating system, which shall not be named or have impunition dragged upon it.
Right.
I used OpenOffice, LibreOffice.
Right.
And I really like them. They're a very good program. It's well integrated, and I like all the features. But I cannot, no matter how many times I've tried, find a Chrome version of that. And I've gone through every G store, M store, U store, B store, whatever, and I cannot find a compatible program. Any suggestions?
Well, there's of course the Google Docs.
I'm using that, but it doesn't have the graphic stuff that LibreOffice does.
Right. So, all right. If you are in the Linux subsystem on your Chromebook or Chromebox,
right,
you can download LibreOffice.
And through Linux?
Yeah, through the Linux side.
Okay,
you have to
command line.
Yeah, you have to start up the Linux stuff. It's in settings under advanced, and that lets you start up Linux. And once you have Linux installed, it happens automatically once you start it up. But from there, you can install it right from the App Store. So if you say apt, you have to say sudo apt install LibreOffice. And it installs it.
Just APP?
APP. Yeah, it's an App Store. No, excuse me.
APT.
APP is the App Store. APT is the Application Programming T. That installs software. So it would be sudo apt install LibreOffice.
Install. I'm writing it as I mumble.
Doesn't he have to use the get command for the upgrade?
There's also, by the way, CollabreOffice for Chromebooks. I forgot about that. There's a CollabreOffice for Chromebooks. And Steve, are you looking at that?
I'm finding the instructions for LibreOffice.
Oh, yeah, okay. But we'll put both the instructions for LibreOffice and the instructions for Collabra Productivity, which is basically LibreOffice in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get CollabreOffice for Chromebooks which they say is the first native productivity tool for Chrome OS. So I'm going to have to play with that my own self.
Well, Collabra, C-O-L-A-B-R-A?
C-O-L-L. A-B-O-R-A. Like I said, Steve is finding that information. We'll have a post up on the website before the next break is over.
All right, we'll take a look.
Yeah, take a look, and I'll be looking at that myself because it's an interesting concept. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right.
Have a good time, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. And again, thank you for your donation. Don't let Brian be the only one. Give us a call, 585-96. The Bryans, be the only ones. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free. 1-800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, or you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is how we prefer you to donate, at jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate now button and scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. In the meantime, that music tells us that the first hour of this show is over. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but don't go too far. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And hey, by sheerest coincidence, a couple of minutes is how long it takes to become a member. What a perfect time to do so. And we'll be back with a whole lot more Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour, Soundbites. Member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show of the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. You are also hurtling headlong into the last hour of our Saturday pledge drive. This is the last Saturday of the pledge drive. So as far as we're concerned, it's the last day. If you've been holding off on making your pledge, this is it. And we truly need your help. We have not reached our goal.
So we can't really say what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. We hope we're spared the chopping block, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But you can help prevent that if you give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. And if you don't want to talk to a human being, although Cheryl is lovely and would be a delight for you to talk to, but if you don't like talking to people, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Folks don't realize that, you know, if they don't, you know, get off their butts or even go to their computer and pledge, we could easily be eliminated. You know, Rob can easily do blocks of music and just play those and, you know, we're done.
Yep.
We could be easily cut, no problem. And, you know, it'd be great for us in a way. We'd all of a sudden now have our Saturdays after so many years.
I don't know what I would do with them.
I'd be worried I'd have to work all day instead of just in the morning.
Well, that's the thing. Folks don't realize. We give up every Saturday of our lives, unless it's Christmas or New Year's, and come here in the middle of the day. At 11 o'clock, I leave the house. And I usually don't get back home until 2:30, 3 o'clock. By the time we wrap things up and travel and get home and that, boom, there's a good hunk of the day out of our lives, the three of us. We give up so you folks can get information, learn something, hopefully, and be entertained. And remember, we know you do because you're right. Even on the podcast, the downloads and that all over the world.
Yep. And we know that you're listening and we know that you like the show. What we don't know is why you don't pledge. I don't understand that part. You're adults. You understand that there are obligations and things that you have just as much as everybody else. You understand the exigencies of finance. You understand that if this show cannot bring in money, it doesn't stay on the air. So we need your help. And I don't know where it is. But if you still are willing to help us, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And the one thing that we've always taken pride in is that since day one, you folks can call in, ask a question, and we give you an answer. It's not one of those programs where we try to pre-screen and, you know, get all these calls, figure out answers, and then have the person call back sounding like it's real. No, we do it live. We don't know who's going to ask what next. And over 33 years, that's 33 years, we've been doing this without a net and having a lot of fun doing it. So if you enjoy it as much as we do, you know, please pick up the phone and give us a call and pledge. I mean, we don't mind giving up our Saturdays as long as you folks don't mind once in a while, twice a year, like Nick said, picking up the phone and giving us a call and pledging.
That's all we ask.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, I will read the next news item. Oh, this amused me. Over the last year, Google has pressured Apple to adopt the RCS standard and help break down the artificial walls between messaging platforms. Apple remains adamant in its opposition, with CEO Tim Cook recently saying he would love to convert you to an iPhone. Not going to happen, Tim. Not going to happen. Now Meta's Mark Zuckerberg is using an advertisement for WhatsApp features to take a dig at Apple's stubbornness. On Monday, Zuckerberg shared on Instagram this new WhatsApp billboard displayed in Penn Station in New York City. The ad mocks the ongoing green bubble, blue bubble debate, suggesting people instead switch to WhatsApp's private bubble. Although this ad only uses the controversy as context, Zuckerberg's caption for the Instagram post goes straight for Apple's jugular. Zuckerberg boasts that WhatsApp is more private than iMessage, thanks to platform-agnostic end-to-end encryption, even in group chats. He also highlights how WhatsApp backups are end-to-end encrypted, too, unlike iMessage. WhatsApp boss Will Cathcart went into greater detail in a series of tweets explaining that people continue to text because of how iMessage works, even though more secure options like WhatsApp exist. He also highlights other privacy features which iMessage cannot rival, like view once, media, and disappearing messages. WhatsApp has 2 billion users worldwide, but it isn't the most popular service in the U.S. The spokesrobot for the company said that this new ad campaign will also show up on TV, digital, video, outdoors, and social media across the U.S. Does it matter to you what message a platform is sent from? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
But on the other side, it's being reported that Facebook, the owners of WhatsApp, gave police in a state access to a teenager's chats with her mother, discussing a procedure that's perfectly legal in many states.
Yes.
But not in hers at the moment.
Right.
And so your Facebook is reading your chats.
Facebook is always reading your chats. And, we know that.
And we'll turn over all the data to the police. Okay. They got a warrant. They have to do that. But they didn't have to keep the data.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Right. I don't understand this whole green bubble, blue bubble thing. So if I send you a text, if somebody else on an iPhone sends you a text message, it's green?
No, it's blue.
It's blue?
Blue is end-to-end encrypted through the iMessage, internet messaging system.
Right.
Text messages come in green because it goes through the public cellular system.
Okay, but if you guys used RCS, it would also be blue.
Or it could be a different color, yeah.
It would be end-to-end encrypted.
And
so the reason that you get unencrypted messages is because Apple refuses to join the encryption standard. Yes.
Mostly, yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah. In the early days of iMessage, Steve Jobs said they'd make it open source so everyone could use iMessage.
And they did not,
right. But so there are other issues with RCS. I think I remember a statement Apple made on RCS. So the rich communication system that Google is touting has its own problems. But every system does. So let's have a group.
None of them are perfect.
Let's have a group maybe under IEEE and design a request for comment on an open but encrypted messaging standard that everyone can use.
Wouldn't
that be nice? Well, the problem goes back to even farther with text messaging as a cash cow for cell phone companies.
Right.
Initially, a dollar a message, and then as low as 25 cents a message before they buried it in your phone bill, using the back channel cellular system that wasn't part of phone calls. And now, if somebody like Apple or Google could have capitalized on that to begin with,
right,
they could own the market.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that messaging nowadays is basically free. Most cell plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember that back in the day when that one woman on her iPhone got over.
Justine had 300 pages.
Yeah.
On her phone bill, because at the time, AT&T had a detailed bill, and so they detailed every single message she sent. We wanted to know how much that cost her at 25 cents a piece.
Exactly.
But 300 phones. So that was one of her first viral videos 20 years ago where she fast-forwarding her reading through 300 pages. And then Andy Notko on MacBreak said something about, I want to turn detailed billing on. So AT&T's response was, we'll turn detailed billing off, and then you just get a summary sheet. Andy says, I want to turn detailed billing on to force AT&T to print 300 pages and mail me 300 pages and pay for the postage.
Exactly. Exactly right. Nowadays, that's all basically free. Email is still free. The problem is all this stuff began back in the day when nobody cared about security because, mm-hmm. Email was the first application protocol, whatever you want to call it, that was put up on the brand new World Wide Web. And there were only like three machines on the internet to begin with.
Yep.
So, how secret did you have to
and
be?
It wasn't too popular yet.
Well, but the whole point of it was to share information. Why would you encrypt information you're sharing?
Yeah.
Nowadays, of course, because it's ubiquitous, all the spoilers are on. They get some sort of kick out of that. God bless them, whatever. But the point is, nowadays we need encryption. And you can, for example, encrypt messages. You can encrypt email. You can use, if you use Thunderbird, you can encrypt your email. The problem is you and the other person have to set that up ahead of time, and it's not terribly easy right now. If you send a message through Google Gmail to another Google Gmail user, and both of you read those messages, you write the message and the other person reads the message on the website, they are encrypted end to end. So that there's encryption there. But the minute you go off of that, and the same thing with iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
If a person sends an iMessage user to iMessage user, it's encrypted. But if it's from or to a non iMessage user person, it is not encrypted. And that's why Google keeps saying RCS.
Well, and I'm reading Digital Trends has an article that they call RCS a mess. And it seems that each carrier has their own implementation of RCS. And they're not necessarily fully compatible with each other.
But there is that a minimum standard that is compatible.
Yep.
And that's what there should be. You're right. There should be an IEEE committee to deal with that. And the problem is there is not.
Yep.
And that's the issue that we have.
There's maybe
so
someday.
Many committees. Why don't they just have another one?
Yeah, maybe someday.
Who came up with RCS to begin with?
I don't know. But while you're looking that up, we'll go to the phones. Our next caller is Rich from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Rich?
Greetings, gentlemen. I just made a contribution, so that'll pay for this question.
Thank you.
The LastPass, which I have, foolish question probably, but I created my password.
Mm-hmm.
How do all of my passwords get into LastPass?
You type them in.
Yeah, you got to enter each one in separately.
Now, it depends on where they are now. If they're in some other password manager, you should be able to export and import.
Oh, okay. No, they are not. So,
if they're in, for example, an Excel spreadsheet, you could export and import.
Okay.
But if they're just by hand, yes, you put each one in individually.
Banks and retailers, et cetera, each one, okay.
Yeah.
Well, does it watch when you type a password and say, do you want to enter this in your vault?
It might.
Because that's how Google and Apple work.
Yeah, right, that's why NPass does.
But that's hit and miss.
Yeah.
You know, you might have one that you don't go to except once a month, and you don't really want to wait a month.
And the thing of it is, too, LastPass will also, Rich, ask you if you want to create a password. So you might have one that's maybe okay, but they'll encourage you to use a more robust and longer password, which makes it harder for other programs or other people to get, break.
And they'll create one for you, you're saying, too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll generate one, and then what you would do is then usually within them, there's a copy feature. You can say copy, go over to the program that you're logging into, and say paste. And it will put that password in there for you.
Yep.
So you don't have to remember, say 54 characters.
Okay. So the bottom line is it's an hour or two of desk work, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Once. Yeah, because once you get going, Rich, you just get in the habit because it's usually running down on your desktop. So if you go to another site and it needs to set up a password, I have just gotten in the habit of, all right, I create that password, or account, but I first go over to NPass and say, all right, I'm going to log into this account, this web page, and it needs a password. And I let NPass generate it for me. So then I just copy it. Now I go back over to that program and start to, do the sign up. And I put in the information when it asks a password. I just paste the one from NPass, and you can do the same with LastPass.
So when I sit down at my desk to pay bills, and or go to a retailer or go to Amazon or whatever, I should initially type in my go to LastPass with my long password, right?
Yep.
And then leave that well enough alone, and then go to Amazon or whatever. So I initially need to type in my LastPass long password, right? And then it fills everything in from the next
Here's the thing. Once you enter all those in, Rich, okay?
Sorry to be so stupid. Yeah.
No. There's no dumb question. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. That's always been my philosophy.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're going to have this program, say, running in the background down on your desktop. Now you go over to...
Hold on.
Just listen.
Okay.
You've got it running down on the toolbar.
Okay.
So now you go over to Amazon. Amazon knows that you use LastPass. So once you go into that sign-in page, it's going to prompt you. I've got that username and password in LastPass. You want to use that? You just click on it. It will automatically fill in the username and the password based on LastPass's information.
Cool.
So you just click on it, say, yep, use this, this, and boom, it'll log you in to Amazon, or if you go to some other, your banking or whatever, it stores all that information. So as long as it's running on your in your tray down there, it's ready to quick pop up and put that information in there for you.
Gotcha. Very cool. Amazon is a son of a gun to me sometimes trying to get in there, but I really appreciate this. I shall get to work immediately, if not sooner.
There you go, sir.
There you go. Have fun.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
And the big advantage with a password manager of any kind on any platform is that you can make unique passwords for every site, which you should. There are 12 billion leaked passwords out there that yours is probably among them. Bad guys will then try it on Amazon and PayPal and Citibank and because they know you reuse your passwords. And you can have long, complex passwords that are impossible to guess and would take forever to brute force.
And my daughter gets very angry because most of my passwords are 64 characters.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We hear sometimes on Security Now, someone will say, I tried logging, creating a new account at my bank, and it wouldn't accept 64 characters.
Yeah,
it
mine
said 16
would.
Was the maximum.
Mine's at 25, and I, called them up and said, hey, why is it longer? And she goes, we're working on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because it's
it used to be eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
Because it was of COBOL or Fortran.
Yeah. An 8-bit byte. So yeah.
Right. So
eight byte word.
Was eight characters. I was talking to a guy a number of years ago at a bank. He was head of the thing at that time, but he was a programmer back in the day. And he said, listen, 15 characters is almost twice what we had back then.
Yep.
It's a luxury.
Yep.
He said, for you, you're old.
No.
For most people, we need 64 characters.
When you're setting up a new Mac and creating your admin account, it requires you to have a password. One character is too short. Two characters too short. Three characters is too short. Four characters is okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So they have a check, but four characters is okay, I suppose, because they started with a four-digit PIN on their phones until someone realized that's only 10,000 combinations. Hire an intern to try every combination for a couple hours, you'll get it.
Or write a program that does
second. Automatic generator.
So now they're up to they have 6-digit PINs by default. So that's 100 million? No, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's too many to brute force.
But still, no. Like Nick said, you can write a program and it'll sit there and go through it before the day's out.
But if you type it wrong too many times, it erases the phone. Well, erases the encryption password.
Right.
Because iPhones, like Android phones, are encrypted by default with your password. And if you forget the password, no one can get into your data.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason to make sure you've written down all of that information. And include things like the password for your phone, the password for your tablet, assuming they're different, all of that stuff, and your PIN numbers and all of those things, because the reality is that we don't know. So be prepared.
You used to have a 3-ring binder you'd put in your safe deposit box.
Yes, exactly. Now you can use something like NPass, LastPass, whatever, to keep track of all of those passwords that get you into everything. And as long as someone has your master password, someone you trust and love has your master password for NPass or LastPass or whichever one you use, then you're in good shape. All right, I want to thank Daniel, very generous. Thank you very much. I want to thank Richard. Thank you very much. And John, thank you very much. We appreciate. I should probably look where it says "May we thank you on the air." Yes, before I say their name,
but we're just using generic names.
In this case, we did it all. So thank you all very much. These are the people who keep this show on the air, and these are the people who are keeping it coming to you. And you still have a couple of minutes to talk to the talented and lovely Cheryl, who will be glad to take your pledge. Just give her a call, 585. Now, we don't have time for questions anymore. We just got a minute or so before we have to go. But you can call and get in line for questions. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Scroll down until you find the soundbite stuff and pick your poison there. And we need you to make that call. This is the last Saturday for this pledge drive. So this is our last chance to show this station that we want to stay on the air. That's on you. Make that call. Make that pledge.
Or even do the Jazz-O-Matic.
And do the Jazz-O-Matic. That's a minimum of $10 a month, yeah. But any amount you want over that is fine as well. And we take it monthly out of your account for 1 year, and then we stop. If you want it to continue, you call us and tell us to renew.
Yeah. We.
Otherwise, it just is just a year. But if you pledge at, for example, the $10 level, you get the benefits of the $120 level because $10 a month is $120 over a year. So you can plan out what you give. It's a little bite every month instead of a big bite once. And you reap the benefits of your generosity for the whole year. So make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. All right. That music tells us we're going to take a quick break. Perfect time to make that call, make that pledge. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And don't forget, we're at the end. This is the last half hour of our chance to join in the pledge drive. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. Have her explain to you how Jazz-O-Matic works. That's the best way to make a pledge. If you already know all of that or you just don't like talking to humans, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff and go to town. In the meantime, I will read another news item. On Tuesday, I had fun with this yesterday. On Tuesday, tech archivist Jason Scott announced a new website called Diskmaster that lets anyone search through 91.7 million vintage computer files pulled from CD-ROM releases and floppy disks.
Ooh.
The 91.7 million files include images, text documents, music, games, shareware, videos, and much more from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Or I suppose aughts. You could say aughts. Yeah. Diskmaster opens a window into digital media culture around the turn of the millennium, turning anyone into a would-be digital archaeologist. It's a rare look into a slice of cultural history that is more often obscured by the challenges of obsolete media and file format incompatibilities. The files on Diskmaster come from the Internet Archive, uploaded by thousands of people over the years. This new site pulls them together behind a search engine with the ability to perform detailed searches by file type, format, source, file size, file date, and many other options. The value proposition is the value proposition of any freely accessible research database, Scott said. People are enabled to do deep dives into more history, reference their findings, and encourage others to look in the same place. Diskmaster is the work of a group of anonymous history-loving programmers who approached Scott to host it for them. Scott says Diskmaster is 99.999% of the work of that anonymous group, right down to the vintage gray theme that is compatible with web browsers for older machines. Scott says he slapped a name on it and volunteered to host it on his site. And while Scott is an employee of the Internet Archive, he says that Diskmaster is 100% unaffiliated with that organization, which is, of course, better than 99.999% by 1/1000th of a percent. One of the highlights of Diskmaster is that it has already done a lot of file format conversion on the back end, making the vintage files more accessible. For example, you can search for vintage music files such as MIDI or even digitized Amiga sounds and listen to them directly in your browser without any extra tools necessary. The same thing goes for early 90s low-resolution video files, images in obscure formats, and various types of documents. In the Diskmaster Twitter announcement thread, people are already using the service to rediscover programs they lost in the 1990s, rare BBS files, ZZT worlds, bitmap fonts, shareware they wrote 20-plus years ago, and vintage music software. There's a lot of user-created content on the net, not just professional releases. Users who want to avoid not-safe-for-work material should select Strict in the Safe Search options near the bottom. So are you nostalgic for the good old days of computing? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just make sure the kids upstairs aren't on the modem or you'll cut them off.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the olden days of the old screenshots that come up are just cool. We've got a job I've been working on at the office for a while now. Someone brought in a bunch of floppy disks, and we're trying to find a computer old enough to read them and then still be able to convert them into something new. Found out that LibreOffice can read old ClarisWorks files. Yeah. But so it only has AppleTalk built in. There's no IP. So I pulled out an old computer. It's running System 7. Yeah. Only AppleTalk. It doesn't have TCP in it. So I was able to copy most of the files to the hard drive. Now I've got to pull the hard drive out of that computer to put it in. But it's an ATA hard drive. Ooh. So I had to find an ATA adapter. At least it was new enough to be ATA and not a RLL.
Right. Really? If it was easy, anybody could do it.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Dwayne from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, guys. Just want to encourage people on that fund drive to call in and donate. I just got the receipt through the snail mail today for my snail mail donation.
Yes, you can do that as well.
So, I wanted to mention a software app that Steve mentioned last year, and it caught my ear. It was called SyncThing. And he talked about this thing that would allow you to transfer files between different machines and machines of different types.
Yep.
And I thought that was nice because I have a situation where I'm collecting data and making notes on an Android tablet, but the ultimate destination for them to get worked on is my Linux machine in the office. So I looked into SyncThing, and I put SyncThing on both my Android tablet and my Linux machine, and it was great because I set up a folder on the tablet that said basically, you know, outgoing towards the office, and put a folder on the office Linux machine that said, you know, incoming from the tablet. And so, you know, during the day, anything that I wanted to send to the office, I just put into this folder on the tablet. And then occasionally, I would turn both on, run the sync thing on each, and then the files would go from tablet into the office machine in the Linux. And then what I would do is I would look through the folder and say, well, where on the Linux machine should these things ultimately go to? And I would just move them out and everything was great, and I went on for months doing that and was happy as a pig in slop. And then one day I was doing a review of my disk space on the Office Linux machine, and I thought, what the heck is this? I got tens of gigabytes over here in this area. And I looked into it, and it was under the sync thing area, and I said, what the heck? I looked through the folders, couldn't find anything on there, and I thought, dummy, turn on view hidden files. And I looked on, and there were hidden folders called .st versions, because sync thing wanted to store each of the files I brought across, store any multiple versions, and have them ready for me in case it needed to go backwards.
Right.
So it shows you the problems with using a program that's made to do A to do B.
Right.
Because you think, you know, I'm deleting these files and they're gone, and the program is happily saving them for you. I was able to go into sync thing and say, do not save versions, and the problem went away. But it was very interesting because I could have gone on for a long time and run out of disk space before I realized what was going on, because it was all taking place in hidden folders.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks. That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was, it's again, it's an excellent program. It actually, when you bring it up on Linux, it brings up three icons on your desktop. One is start, the other is, I guess, a daemon or whatever that runs under Linux, and the other is GTK, which is the GUI for it. So if you put it on a Linux machine, you got to be prepared that it's going to have three icons showing, and you really have to bring up the GUI for it to actually start the program and connect up to whatever your other devices are.
Right.
And since it's moving the files across your local home network, it's going at the top speed of your network, so the files come across, you know, really quick.
Excellent.
Yeah. I wanted to, during the fundraising drive, speak out to your listeners who are outside Rochester and stream the program on, you know, YouTube or whatever. Even if you never called into the show, if you heard the hosts mention a product or a service that caused you to make a purchase or saved you money, pay that forward with a donation.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Dwayne.
If you followed their advice, if you saved time, time is money. Respond to your savings by making a donation. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
We appreciate that, Dwayne.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks. You too. You heard him, folks. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Cheryl is standing by to take your pledge. And if you want, you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate button and scroll down to the soundbite stuff.
And many companies also do matching pledges. There's a list on the Jazz 901 website of companies that do matching pledges. If you work for a company that will match your pledge, let us know, and then you can double the amount you pledge.
Yeah.
Perfect. And while you do that, we'll talk to Ed from Ithaca, New York. What's up, Ed?
Oh, good morning, guys. I have an iPhone 7 that I use as an iPod, and I did something with the syncing to my MacBook, and now I can no longer add MP3s directly from my downloads folder to the iPod, which I used to be able to do, and I can't delete them from the iPod. What I have to do is go to a file that I've created on the iPod, on the MacBook, and the iTunes program, and then sync. So I don't know what I did wrong in trying to sync it before, but I did something wrong, and it's not working as it used to or as I wanted.
You probably turned on automatic syncing, and so it handles the syncing for you, and so you can't anymore. So you have to plug it back into the computer, go back into iTunes, and turn off automatic syncing.
Okay, and where would that be? Under controls?
In the main iTunes window. You choose what information you want synced between music and movies and photos and data. I'm trying to find an article on it itself. So there's a checkbox at the top of the window for each category of media where you can tell it to automatically sync your photos, your movies, your music as you're going across the tabs.
I think you lost me before getting to all of that. Where do I find that syncing screen?
In the main iTunes window when you plug your phone in.
Is it on the phone or is it on the computer?
It's on the computer.
Okay, and I have that open, and I don't see, unless I go to the bottom where it says sync and done, I don't see any option.
Above that. So the sync button at the bottom tells it to do the sync that you've told it to.
Okay.
So in each of the tabs for music, movies, TV shows, photos, and info, you want to turn on or off the check mark to automatically sync information. Excuse me. And I just found the link, and I can post that here. Are you on a Mac or Windows? Or did we lose him? Nope, it looks like we lost him. All right, I'm posting the link. It's similar for iTunes for Mac and iTunes for Windows. In the early days, 20 years ago when the iPod came out, it was set up for auto sync. You plug your phone in or your iPod in, and it automatically synced everything from your computer because that was the only way to get stuff on the device. And then as they added the iPhone and iPod Touch that could bring in the information directly from the internet, those syncing options are still there in iTunes. Okay. But you can turn them off so that you can manually sync it yourself.
Right. It's Ed again. Are you back, Ed?
I'm back.
Did you hear all happened. Of that Steve just said?
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't know if he wants to repeat it, but you can download the podcast.
Yeah, I posted a link on our link list on how to sync, and it's got pictures on. How do you go to each of the tabs for each type of media and then uncheck the sync box?
Okay. All righty. I'll wait till the podcast comes out and I'll listen to it. And I'll look on your site.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the instructions are very similar between Mac and Windows because it's the same iTunes program. If you're running a newer version of Mac OS, they've renamed it to Music, which is confusing. Because the music app is for listening to music, and the syncing functionality has been moved into the Finder, which makes more sense because the Finder is where you find your files.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Ed, we want to thank you for your donation as well. Thank you so much. This is what we're all about this week, I have to say. People who are new members, renewing members, remembers, or just an additional gift. This is your time. We're nearing the end of your time. We got 10 minutes left. And then you won't be able to pledge around Soundbites anymore. And I realize that there are many of you who are just going, they're going to stop begging.
No, they can still do it after the show. So even those folks listening to the podcast, just because, Saturday has come and gone, and this is, say, Monday when you're listening to this program. No, please pick up the phone or go to the website and still pledge if you're listening to the podcast, because that doesn't get you out of, I escaped that one.
Yeah, right.
No.
So you can pledge anytime. In fact, you can pledge all year long if you're financially embarrassed at this moment, but your circumstances change. You can pledge when they do. And again, it's just go to jazz901.org, hit that donate now button, scroll down to the soundbite stuff and make your pledge. Make that call, make that pledge. Again, and I can't say this enough, we are public Radio. We are supported by you. We are member supported. We don't get the national money, the state money, the city money, the county money. We don't get any of that money.
Hey, guess what else?
What?
We don't get money either, paid.
No, we don't. We are volunteers. But what's important is that this station needs to stay on the air. Remember, Rob was kind enough to bring us to this station when we mm-hmm. had no other home.
Yep.
And if you continue to like listening to this show, which many of you have been doing for decades,
mm-hmm.
this is how you show your gratitude.
And support.
Make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And one thing, I will boast about our the three of us. You know, throughout the 3 decades that we've been on the air, we have kept up with the information, the technology to keep you folks going. We're not one of these shows that, you know, you call in and then we get back to your answers next week. We stay up on this stuff. And we're able to answer your questions here and now. And we've done that from the very beginning when there was 286 computers. I know a lot of you don't remember that when they just came out and they just had dual floppies. Throughout all these decades, we have kept up with the information, the technology, the pros, the cons. Come the holidays, we're always offering advice on what to upgrade, what to get, what to try, and do that stuff. We have always been here for you. And like Nick said, we only come to you twice a year to ask for your help back. You know, it's like you can't always keep taking. Once in a while, you got to give back a little. And they try to make it here at Jazz 90.1 as convenient as you can, whether you can afford it now or Jazz-O-Matic. They give you many different options to help out. And again, there is no wrong amount. Folks will say, well, can only give this amount. We don't care. Every dollar gets us closer to our goal. So don't think any, you know, oh, it's only $10 or $15. That's fine. We'll right. take it because it helps.
Right. Nobody says you're not a member in good standing because you only gave a small amount.
No.
That's not what this is about.
It's
we value our members, whatever level they join at. And we know that, you know, everybody gives to the best of their ability, and that's what counts. You know, somebody who can only who has to squeeze to give us $10, that $10 means more to us than a millionaire giving us $100.
Well, the thing on the form only says two things: member, non-member.
Right.
Hello, you're either a member or you're not. You're not a member.
Right.
It's as simple as that. We don't differentiate any other way.
Right.
Either you're a member supporting this or you're not.
Right. When somebody calls and says, I'm a member, nobody says, oh, yeah, how much?
Yeah. No.
That's not the important part.
Mm-mm.
The important part is you
never
became
enters.
A member. And you can do so quickly and easily. It just takes a couple of minutes. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Scroll down, hit the donate now button, the big red button, and then scroll down and find the soundbite stuff. Pick your level, pick your poison, make the pledge.
There's a lot of great
the
gifts
money,
out there.
Oh, there's some great ones. And don't forget the membership card, which is astonishingly useful. Lots and lots of places that give you money off or buy one, get one or whatever for everything. And it's not, you know, it used to be pretty much just food, but it's food, it's lodging, it's wine tours, it's all spa days. It's just an amazing amount of stuff that you can save money on. And I'll tell you what, even though we don't get out as often as we used to, my wife and I have more than made our money back with those cards. And we're not even typical goers-outers. You know, we're homebodies, but we have more than made up what it cost us to get those cards. And we tend to get tend to get the two membership cards. One is for us, one is for our daughter. And
both take advantage of it.
And we all take advantage of it. And I'll tell you what, it's great. You know, every time you use the card, you feel a little bit of pride in being a member of Jazz 90.1. So make that call. Make that pledge. This is your last chance to call, but not your last chance to donate. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. But you can also pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at jazz901.org. Hit that red donate now button, scroll down to the soundbite stuff, and go, go, go. You can do this. I have faith in you. I believe in you. And make the call, make the pledge.
And the pledge drive will be continuing through this week. So when you're listening to the podcast, you're more than welcome to go on to the jazz901.org website, hit the big red donate now button. You can still pick your gifts for soundbites pledge that way as well.
Exactly right. All right. That is it. That is it. We are done with this show and we are done pledging. We are nowhere near our goal. We don't know what's going to happen next, but we want to thank each and every one of you who did indeed pledge and donate so generously to keep this show on the air. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. But most of all, we all want to thank all those of you who have become members. I cannot begin to tell you how much it means to us. But have fun. Hopefully we will be back next week with a whole nother episode of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?